The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Josh McDowell explains how understanding God's character helps us make good choices.
If by the first time your child sees pornography, you have not built into them a certain concept of God's beautiful reason for sexuality, then when they see that porn the first time, they cannot detect a counterfeit from the original. And the majority of Christian young people to this day believe porn is God's approach to sex.
That's pretty amazing. James Robertson here. Welcome you to Life Today. Our son Randy's here. Betty was unable to be here tonight. She's not ill. She just had another assignment that was important for her. And we did have another great grandbaby. That wasn't the assignment, though, particularly there. But thank you for always caring. It really means a lot. The people were really excited. They're clapping. I wanted to say maybe it's because of our guest, Josh McDowell, is... You know, he wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and man, it was back when he and I were both kids. You know, we're still pretty young, but back when we were kids, these things are happening, and it
the
was
the Dead Sea was only sick.
Yeah, you're right. Now, here's the, see there, that's one reason they're clapping, but I got to tell you the real reason they're clapping is they had seen his shoes. So welcome Josh McDowell. Here is Josh. Let's welcome Josh. But let's get a close-up of the shoes. I want you to see the man's shoes. Can we show you the shoes? Is it possible to... There they are. How do you like those shoes? All right, Josh, where'd you get the shoes?
They were a gift from the Colombian soccer team, football team in South America.
So is something going on down there besides drugs?
Well, I had a chance to speak to the team. It didn't work because they lost, but...
they gave you... Did they take them back?
It was better than an honorarium.
But it's beautiful. They really are. By the way, you look sharp. And here's a book, and I really want you to kind of just look at the title, Set Free to Choose Right. And I think that's more than an implication or an inference. I think it's an absolute fact. I think people are unable to choose right because they're not free. They don't even think free. It's like there's a grip. And it's almost like they're being held captive in their thoughts. Rather than taking thoughts captive, thoughts are taking them captive. So there's a freedom there. But you're talking about choosing right, and you talk about equipping kids to make the right moral decisions. I have an idea that you touch on very important, very serious topics. So I'd just like you to cut to the chase, because my prayer is that every parent and every concerned person, probably every pastor, because I know what you're talking about, and I know the things you address, they need to be addressed effectively and wisely. And I think most parents and even church leaders, they don't know how to address them. So just take off and address some of the things that you really want us to be able to be set free to make.
Well, what
choices.
You're referring to is the storyline I have going through the book of a family with children who've become addicted to pornography. And through the book, I use them as a storyline to how to help even a child like that to make right moral choices.
So there's several children involved in that?
Yes. Okay. And, but pornography, I wish you never even had to mention today, is the greatest threat, the greatest devastation of the cause of Christ in the history of the church.
And let me say up front, I believe that. I totally believe that.
You and Chuck Swindoll set the pace on that. Chuck said it's the greatest cancer in the history of the church. And about 7 years ago, I realized, as an apologist setting forth truth to believe, that I was seeing something in youth culture and kids' conversations and all I couldn't put together. Usually I can pinpoint a problem and pinpoint the answer. It took me a whole year. And when I called home to Dottie, I said, honey, I found out what it is. She said, what? I said, it's pervasive internet pornography. Now, what I saw here, when a person starts watching pornography, and after just minutes or so, they become compulsive usually, is that their authority in the scriptures, the Bible, in Christ, in their pastor, in their church, in their parents, starts to erode. And that's what I was catching. in their attitudes and all. And I traced it back to pornography. And the problem is there's such an ignorance in the body of Christ among parents. I can almost never, ever, ever meet any Christian leader, parent, or anything that's even 1,000th informed on pornography. And the majority
of them, they've never been exposed to any of it? Hormones or what?
But they think they're the only one. They didn't get it, and it's no problem. And
but today it's a massive problem.
I'll tell you, any problem. You get up in the church, any evangelical church, look out over the church. I paid $250,000 to be able to say this. Look out over the church. 70-some percent of all the young men between 18 and 34 actively seek out pornography on the internet, 56% of the women.
Now, repeat those stats again.
From 18 to 34 years old, in any evangelical church, 70-some percent, comes up to about 77, 78% of all the men, 56% of the women, actively seek out pornography on the internet. It just didn't slip by on that. And
can I ask you this question?
And I'll put it this way, let me put it there. Even Dr. Ted Roberts say that 55 to 58% of all evangelical fundamental born-again Christian pastors are addicted to pornography.
Okay, boy, this leads to heavy stuff. And here's the question I simply want to ask you. God says flee sexual immorality, fornication. Every sin, but that is not against the body, that's against the body. When we move in that area, is there a damage inflicted upon our basic being?
Yes. Within 1/2 second, now it takes drugs about 6 minutes, alcohol about 13 minutes to reach the brain. With pornography, 1/2 second. Within 1/2 second starts a process that within 6 minutes, your brain is physically, biologically changed. Different than drugs. It's far harder to beat pornography than heroin, cocaine, alcohol, because of what it does to the brain. And I'll say to any pastor, I don't care how much you know the Word of God, I don't care how many solutions you know for people's problems, if you do not understand the human brain, then please don't tell me you have a biblical answer for pornography, because you don't. Before it's even a sin problem, it's a biological brain problem. And that's what people don't realize. But look at this. 38% of men that start watching pornography lose their job or their profession or their business.
Wow.
60-some percent end in divorce.
Wow.
That's how powerful it is. And
so is it ripping people apart because something has held them in such a grip?
It develops a deep shame, first of all. A very deep, no, shame
is how... By the way, do we add to that shame unknowingly in the church?
Oh, heaven, yes.
Do we make people who are trapped by something that might be evil believe they're evil? You know,
that's not shame.
Yeah, you are bad. You didn't just do bad, you're bad.
We look at shame is how we look at ourselves. Guilt is because of our actions. Mm-hmm. We become guilty, in a minute, it's shame. And the problem is, when you start watching pornography, say if you're a believer, and over half do, of believers, evangelicals. They start watching it. They'll start developing a shame. But it is so powerful, they can't walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. And they don't talk about it, do they? They don't bring it up, do they?
No. And the shame starts to affect their intimacy in relationship with others. You start to withdraw. That's one of the biggest problems. And in the church, I tell pastors, you cannot counsel, or I'll put it this way, overwhelming majority of pastors, boy, this is dangerous to say this in your show, or majority of pastors and Christian leaders that counsel people on pornography are normally doing more damage than good.
How do they do the damage? Please help.
Because they take the typical, and for many it is a good biblical point, you just need to make the decision, you're not going to watch anymore, the will. Second, read God's word. Third, trust Jesus, and he'll take care of it. No, you could lead to suicide. Why? The key to porn is realizing porn is not the problem. Porn is a symptom of a deeper root problem. Loneliness, anguish, fear, boredom. There's trigger points, up to 19 to 20 trigger points that has been developed in your life through the years through being wounded. Every person I've ever met in life has been wounded. You've been wounded, I've been wounded. Everyone here has been wounded. And when you deal with just the surface level pornography, stop it. And they'll say, see, he got freedom. He's got victory over it. 2 months later, they'll be deeper into pornography than they ever dreamed. Why? Because they didn't deal with the deeper root problem. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, when you deal with the surface problem, not the root problem, and then the person say, oh, I'm free, the pastor said I'm free, and then boom, it'll come back. It will come back. Then you lose hope. But here's the key. From 6 to 13 years of age, I was homosexually raped every week for 7 years, sometimes two or three times a week. I was forced for 7 years every single day to look at homosexual pornography. It's right up here. After I came to Jesus, second year in university, the greatest truth I ever learned is when I realized I need more than Jesus. Hmm. If I stick with Jesus, I'm going to fail. I think one of the greatest sins preached today, and I hear it all the time, it's in Christian music, all you need is Jesus. That's evil. That is not biblical.
You almost sound like you're getting heretical yourself.
Yeah. Anybody that questions that, they're the heretical one. Why? Just read your Bible, for heaven's sakes, you know, I say to people. Don't just read it, study it. When it comes to my salvation, James, all I need is Jesus. I don't need Jesus plus works, Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus communion, whatever. All I need. But James, almost everything after my salvation, I need more than Jesus. I need the church. I need the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. About 50 times in the New Testament, mark it out, one another. That's not you and Jesus. That's you and a brother or a sister in Christ. Love one another, comfort one another, encourage one another. Galatians, bear one another's burdens. James 5, confess your sins to one another. When we confess our sins to God, what does the Bible promise? Forgiveness. We confess our sins one to another, what does God
promise?
Healing.
Yeah.
Every time a pastor says, all you need is Jesus, are cutting people off from one of the greatest sources of healing, the body of Christ. I wouldn't be here without Jim Simpson.
That's what I'm wanting to shout.
I wouldn't be here without the body of Christ.
Done without family that loved like Jesus, that didn't shame me, that lifted me up into the presence of His grace.
First
and that's what we need.
Towards healing, realizing you can't go it alone. I don't care if you're triple personality A. Don't go it alone. You won't make it.
Boy, it's so powerful. God, please help people to hear this.
And then second, you've got to incorporate in the person the exciting biblical-based concept of sexuality. Because, especially with a child.
It's a beautiful gift.
See, with most children, most Christian kids, their parents haven't talked to them about sex. I think you have to start at 5 and build into them a certain concept of biblical sexuality. Why? Because the first time they see porn, and your child, your grandchildren, are going to see porn. These people that say, oh, I can protect my child. No, you can't. I don't care if you homeschool them, you pray over them, you have family to vote. You cannot protect your child. They will see pornography. And the key is, have you prepared them for the first time they see it? Because it's not if they're going to see it, it's when. And when they see it that first time, there needs to be two things incorporated. One, that mother and dad has to have created the most incredible, loving, intimate, secure home where that child feels free to talk to mommy and daddy about anything without shame,
absolutely,
without
God
judgment, but James, without starting to quote the Bible. Some Christians can't open their mouth without saying, well, don't you know God says this, the Bible says, that's one of the fastest ways to lose your child.
And doesn't it add more shame to them for some
reason? Right. You listen to them, and then you bring in the truth of God's word. And so the first thing you need to do is build that relationship. Second, by, I would say, 5 at the maximum, 8, because the average age for a child seeing it is 8 years old worldwide. If by the first time your child sees pornography, you have not built into them a certain concept of God's beautiful reason for sexuality, then when they see that porn the first time, they cannot detect a counterfeit from the original. And the majority of Christian young people to this day believe porn is God's approach to sex.
Wow.
And it comes back to mom and dad. And then God's grace. God's grace.
You've written a book not only dealing with this, but in depth many other challenges. Not a way in the world. Name 2 or 3 of them. We don't have time to go into it, but name a couple of the other areas other than this that you try to deal with.
Well, how do you help your child to make consistent right choices? For example, among young people, Christian young people, 56 or 57% will say not recycling is immoral. Only 32% will say watching pornography is immoral.
Wow.
How do you teach your children right from wrong? For example, I'll be in any meeting, pastors' meetings, leaders, parents, whatever, and say, do you believe lying is wrong? Everyone says, yes. I'll say, why? 90% will always say, because the Bible says so. And I go, oh my gosh. No wonder we're losing our kids. That is wrong. And absolutely nothing is morally right or wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not. And yet almost every Christian parent teaches that, and it's preached from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. That is wrong. That's unbiblical. The Bible is not legalistic, but the way it's so often taught, mm-hmm. it becomes legalistic the way we teach it. And this book here is saying, I want to bring you back to the person, character, and nature of God. And one of the principles there is four steps we use with our kids. One, consider the choice. Okay, I can do this or I can do that. This could be implicated. Second, compare it to God. Consider the choice, compare it to God. Third, and this is a tough one, commit to God's way. And then third, count on His blessing to protect and provide. And in the book, I walk parents through how they can teach this to their children and how you can literally show your children that literally following God's character is your way of right from wrong. You enjoy life more. It's better for you, everything, because God is able to protect you and provide for you. We need to take and show our kids that when it says, thou shalt not, and this is what I help parents in there, illustration after illustration, how to show what appears to be negative here is actually positive. I mean, you take where it says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Almost every Christian adult, everything says that's so negative. Look there. God doesn't want you to enjoy yourself. No. He says, for it's the one sin you commit against your body. Mm-hmm. In 1960, one out of 63 teenagers were infected with a sexually transmitted disease. In 1970, one out of 57. 1940, about one out of 32. 30 years ago, it was about one out of 20-some. You know what it is today? One out of two. 50%. Hmm. And God says, I love you. I don't want to take the fun out of life. I want to protect you from the one sin that literally affects your body. Wow.
Wow.
And I document all of this in there and show parents chapter on how to do this in this area and that area with pornography, everything. See, God is truth. There's a principle out of that. Honesty. There's a precept out of that. Thou shalt not lie.
Yeah.
Behind every precept is a principle. Behind every principle is a person, character, and nature of God.
You need to be here about a week. Mm-hmm. Let me say to all of you who are watching, and please listen to me. I beg you to get the book. If you don't know that you have a need for it, you know people that have a desperate need for it. If you have grandchildren, now we're having great grandchildren. I'm going to tell you something. I happen to know things were said to our grandchildren that were revolutionary in a positive way. In a positive way. And they're as natural and normal as anybody's ever been made in the image of God, with the very desires and appetites God puts in. And I'm telling you, I'm watching miracles. You and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the miracle of grace, because we'd have been destroyed. Our lives were set up for total destruction. We got a mighty God. It's got two guys here that are excited about the greatness of God's grace. Again, would you say thanks to God and thanks to Josh for being so honest. Get the book in the bookstores. Get it. Share it. Let God direct you as you offer grace and help. Josh, come back soon. Let me say this to you. Now, don't leave me right here. We're coming to you asking you right now to just reach out in love. And notice the unnoticed, the too often overlooked. God does not overlook them, but He sees them through eyes that have hands and hearts and minds to express His heart, His mind, and extend His hands. That's what we're going to get to do right now. And I'm going to tell you something. With all my heart, I believe you're going to want to do it. Watch.
It really just breaks my heart how the children in this village know what it means to have an empty bowl. Because empty bowls mean empty stomachs. And empty stomachs mean going to bed night after night, suffering from the pain of hunger, starvation, malnutrition, and ultimately death. The graves are full, full of children. Precious little lives, children who have a name, children who mean so much to their family, children whose lives are stolen simply because they didn't have enough food. We can change that. We can end that pain. We can end the suffering of children going to bed at night with the pain of hunger. We can end the cycle of death, of mother burying child because she wasn't able to give them enough food. It's so easy to change it. Please give the gift of life to these children and fill their empty bowls.
I can't tell you how much I want us to pick those little children up. And maybe you didn't notice, he had just kind of an ordinary bowl, but right beside him there was a big tub full of bowls like this. You know where they came from? Somebody like you kept watching these little children with their old tin cans, rusty cans, plastic bags, whatever they could bring to get something to eat. And the soup has to be hot because we're dealing with water that's not always the purest, and it has to be boiled. And it would burn their little fingers. Sometimes people watched them drop their little bowls or their little can, and they'd fall down in the ground and start eating it right off the dirt. And our viewers said, let's give them heat-resistant bowls. There was a whole tub of those. Love paid for that. But love did something even more important than that. It filled the bowls with a manifestation of love. It filled them with food that was nourishing, literally established with a scientific biological overview of the very nutritional needs in that particular area, what's lacking. That's what love does. These children that have been impacted with a horrible drought, one of the worst in the last several decades, really need our help. 400,000 of them organized. The missionaries have located them. They've said, you come here, and in many instances, they got something to start with. But now they're waiting to know they can continue the feeding. And those lines will get longer. So as Betty prayed continually in our mission outreach, God, let the lines to feed them always be longer than those who need to be fed. All right, that's what we need right now. We need a mighty outpouring of God's love, and we need it expressed in action. See, not just in word, but in deed. So would you right now go online, or would you dial that number that's a prayer line for you if you have a broken heart or a need, and it's paid for by love. But would you right now in love, would you take your bank card, go online, call the number, take that card and use it like a check. But I'm asking you to make the largest gift you possibly can. Now remember this. This is what I'm saying. $30, $50, or $100, I'm not exaggerating. $30, $50, or $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. You hear what I said? What you do right now. $1,000 will feed 100. I'm praying for many people today who can. I'm sending $1,000. I'm going to feed 100 kids. But if you can feed 3, don't consider that small. It's huge to the mothers you just saw, to those children. It's life. 30, 50, 100, whatever you can do. We've got some gifts to send you that will help you really understand and grasp God's wisdom even more clearly. We'll send it to say thanks. Please, if you write a check, make the life, but call us. Call us, tell us you're putting the check in the mail. The missionaries need to know. Thank you right now for making that gift. Thank you for doing it now.
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, you can save lives by feeding and caring for children currently suffering from starvation in parts of Angola, Mozambique, and South Sudan. With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children. With your gift, we'll send you the James Code by O.S. Hawkins, an outstanding devotional to help you go from knowing about God to living for God and putting your faith into action. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Passion Translation Bible. This New Testament edition, including Psalms and Proverbs, ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart for His children with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
And I want to say thank you, Randy, and I together say thank you. You didn't get to hear from Randy. You didn't get to hear a lot from me.
Didn't need to.
No. We had a total flow. I don't just think from Josh McDowell. I think we had a flow from the heart of God. I think we heard some of the greatest wisdom the world will ever hear.
Yeah.
This was not misrepresentation. I want you to get the book. If you give any food to these kids and say, could you send me that book, please? You better believe it. We'll send it to you to say thank you, along with the other gifts. We want to pour gifts that bless you all over you. This could change and save a marriage, a family, a child's life. If our lives, with all we went through as kids, could be spared by grace, anybody's can be. I love you, buddy. I want you to come back soon. Would you say thanks to Josh McDowell? Tremendous. Tremendous. Tell your friends about the book in the bookstores, all right? Encourage them to get it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for helping.
Dallas-Fort Worth area, come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. Go to lifetoday.org/tickets. lifetoday.org/tickets. Tomorrow on Life Today, author and speaker Sheila Walsh shares viewer feedback to the question, what do you find challenging about prayer? Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.